your phone is tracking you. Your location, your relationship to other network users, the history of your internet searches and your intimate chats with family, friends and lovers. Now, there's growing fears in the United States that if the landmark Roe v. Wade ruling is overturned and abortion in the US becomes illegal, prosecutors could subpoena digital information. Google says it received 40,000 warrants in the first 6 months of last year alone. And that info is also available to buy to the highest bidder. For $160, you can buy data showing the comings and goings of people who visited Planned Parenthood clinics. So, welcome to the impending data surveillance war on women's reproductive rights. Nicholas Guggenberger is an executive director at the Yale Information Society Project. Welcome to RN Drive.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. If abortion gets criminalized, then yes, that information could certainly be used to prosecute everybody who is potentially involved in the provision of that abortion or in seeking an abortion.
So what sort of data we're talking about here? Obviously, I mentioned location data or chat messages. Just how far could that surveillance go?
It really concerns any sort of data. So you already mentioned location data, which is an obvious type or category of data that could be used to prosecute people involved in either seeking abortions or providing abortions. But it goes far beyond that. It includes internet searches. So imagine a woman searches for abortion providers and that data is later used as evidence against her to construct to support the prosecution's story, to create or substantiate intent, for example. We just have to be aware that we're leaving digital traces all over the internet. Now, there are certain areas where that might be more obvious. So, of course, my health tracking app has my health information. Of course, my Fitbit collects health data from me. But even in other types of data, there is health information included in some ways. So in my shopping pattern might reveal certain health conditions I have. Changes in my shopping behavior could reveal certain health conditions. And in that sense, a pregnancy is no different than any other sort of health condition.
There are also apps which track women's menstrual cycles. I understand that around 100 million women in the US use a period tracking app called Flow. There's lots of different versions. Just tell me a bit more about the quality of that data and how concerns are being raised about whether or not that data is available commercially or not.
Well, so one thing with Flow specifically is that they were just recently fined for selling users' data in breach of what they have promised or what they are promising in their terms of service and in breach of what they have publicly stated prior to that. That data is incredibly granular. I mean, take the information that anybody has to plug in when using an app like that, that contains real names, that contains email information, that might contain direct location information, and then add to that everything that the app itself automatically tracks. That is, again, location data. That is the way you use your phone, the frequency you check your phone. And once you combine these various types of data, the data that users volunteered in order to be able to use the app, plus the type of data that the app collects through ongoing surveillance, that creates enormously granular profiles about individuals.
If you just tuned in on RN Drive, we're talking with Nicholas Guggenberger about the evidence that could be used against someone seeking to get an abortion in the United States if Roe v. Wade is indeed overturned. And Nicholas, so if expected, you know, the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, there's a whole raft of conservative states ready to go with so-called trigger laws, which would immediately outlaw abortion. How restrictive might these laws be? Could they make searching for information locations or locations of clinics illegal in itself?
So this is absolutely unclear at this point how far reaching they are. We should be clear that this is really speculation on how far that goes. I don't expect that the direct search for information or the provision of information itself would be criminalized. Fortunately, one has to say there is pretty robust protection of speech and information in the United States. That said, that information, even if the distribution or the searches themselves would not constitute criminal behavior or could not be construed to amount to criminal behavior, they could, of course, be used as corroborative evidence to support the story that the prosecution might be telling in a case. So, for example, if the intent is in question, or if one doesn't have other reliable sources of information, then a search for certain things, then certain data that has been disclosed in other ways, meaning location data that suggests that a person, a woman, was in proximity of an abortion provider or of a suspected abortion provider, all that could be used as corroborating evidence to build a case. And there's precedent for that in other areas. So I personally find it appalling to use the search for abortion provision, especially while abortion provision and seeking abortions is still illegal, as evidence in cases of a killing of a newborn. That has happened, and prosecution has tried to rely on online searches to construct a motive that would suggest that that woman in fact killed her newborn baby.
So there is that issue of whether or not someone were to travel to get an abortion in another state where it is still legal, then they could return home and then face prosecution in their home state. Could that be possible?
Again, this is engaging in a lot of speculation. At the moment, I'm not aware that laws are on the book that, if triggered, would persecute abortions conducted in a different state. Yet, one should be clear about the fact that this would be the next step that some states are considering. Because the development is obvious. Once you prohibit abortion in a certain region, in a certain jurisdiction, in a certain state, people will start to travel. And if the anti-abortion extremists want to really shut down the provision of abortions in general, then they will try to push and push and expand these prohibitions. And so it would only be a question of the next step and a question of what type of approach they might be pursuing. They could try to criminalize the seeking of an abortion in a different state. They could try to limit the ability to travel to a different state. And I should be clear, this is not what's happening at this point, but this is what I personally would expect to happen if Roe is completely overturned, as this leaked draft opinion suggests.
Yeah, I think it's fair to step through those likely or possible outcomes, considering the foundational change that may be thrust upon US citizens if Roe versus Wade is overturned. There has been growing calls for corporate America to be more transparent on their views around abortion. Have any of the big tech firms shown their hand on this or shown their ability to get involved and either limit or allow information as per their sort of philosophy? Or ideals?
So far, I haven't seen changes in content moderation policies based on this opinion or on this leaked draft, but I think that is still too early. We have seen several companies announcing that they would reimburse travel costs for employees who would need to travel out of state to seek access to abortions. That we have seen.
Do you think the big tech companies like Google or Apple need to be more vocal on this issue? I mean, their whole business model is predicated on the sale of data, but then in terms of marketing or their corporate sorts of statements, it's all about giving freedoms and agency to women, those sorts of ideas. So do you think they are going to protect our information more securely? Do they have an obligation to?
This is something that I don't think they will do on their own. We have seen slight movement. So, for example, when you look at one of the biggest data brokers, Safegraph, a data broker that has been treating Planned Parenthood, the major provider of abortions, just as another brand that you could track and on which basis you could buy data about people, location data about people seeking abortions. They have slightly changed their policies. So as I understand, you can no longer directly buy data based on location data and other types of data based on perceived affiliation with Planned Parenthood. But that, of course, is not sufficient. And the reason for that is that if you want to surveil people who might have received abortion care, you don't need to directly track them by buying data that is labeled Planned Parenthood. You can use countless proxies. You can, instead of targeting the location data of people in close proximity to a specific abortion provider, you can just track people in close proximity to the bakery next door, and you get the very same people. And that is just to say that the measures that the data brokers have been taking and some of the measures that I expect big tech to take are by no means sufficient. This is really the case, the most important case over the last few years in favor of robust federal data protection laws.
Nicholas, it's been part fascinating, part terrifying speaking with you. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Nicholas Guggenberger is the Executive Director at the Yale Information Society Project here on RN Drive.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.